We welcome you back to the Two Guys Named Chris show. Always look forward to having Lisa Lanier on this program. She's the official attorney of it. This will be a bit personal, this very first segment of this very first part of it, because my wife has asked to slip in a special story I didn't even prepare Lisa on. Hey, Lisa, how you doing?
Hey, what's the A-Train got for me? She got something good.
She is all over this.
It's hard to ignore.
This murder story in South Carolina.
Oh, I love this story. I'm all over it, too.
Well, legally.
Do you have insight we don't know about?
What can you tell? I mean, it's got so many facets to it, we haven't even have enough time to cover it. But the latest is this guy attempted his own suicide. He botched it. He had somebody shoot him. He wasn't shot or it grazed him, and then they called 911. So he's in some trouble. If you're his lawyer, are you going to do what the lawyer does, which is say, oh, he's addicted to opioids? And you can get in trouble,
right,
I guess, for faking your own suicide or for attempting your own suicide and then not going through with it. Tell us all about what you know about this case.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that is, he's already checked himself into rehab for opioid abuse. But here's the deal. So this goes back, there's so much murder and intrigue and stuff tied to these people. It goes back to 2018 when their 20-year housekeeper, been there for 20 years, Gloria Satterfield, died in their home. They said that she fell and hit her head or something, but there was no autopsy. There was no coroner. There was a death certificate that somehow somebody came up with that said that she died of natural causes, which a fall is not natural causes, so that doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, then it gets even more weird because the guy, the Alex Murdaugh, the patriarch of the family, somehow got one of his buddies to file a supposedly wrongful death lawsuit on behalf of the housekeeper's family, and he settled it for $500,000 that went to his buddies at the bank, and her family never saw a penny of it.
Yep.
And they are now suing for wrongful death and saying that was all a sham. Then his son, who was murdered in June, he was in trouble for a 2019 fatal boating accident where he was allegedly intoxicated, crashed the boat, and killed somebody. So he was already facing charges related to that. Then Paul, who crashed the boat, and the mother were found dead in their home by the patriarch, Alex Murdaugh, called 911. They're murdered in the home. This guy is... he is the head of a family with this 100-year-old law firm. They are uber wealthy in a very poor area. It's outside of Charleston, but it's not in Charleston proper. And the idea is, you know, they could do anything they wanted. They were the judges, they, you know, in their pockets. They were law enforcement in their pockets. Apparently could do anything they wanted. He was embezzling money. He's already admitted to that, embezzling money from his law firm. He has had to surrender his law license. They've revoked that and suspended that indefinitely.
It's incredible how much.
But other than that.
Then he hires the guy. So then he says, look, so much has happened. You know, I want to escape it. I want to commit suicide. But he said, look, my $10 million life insurance policy has a suicide clause. It will not pay. So he's like, I've got to get somebody to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
So he hires this guy named Curtis. And they go out on a rural road, and he's like, Curtis, shoot me in the head. And so Curtis shoots him in the head, but he botches it, and he doesn't kill him. He's only in the hospital for 2 days. And then he's got even more trouble, because now he's tried to commit insurance fraud and fake his own death.
You'll be fine.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just crazy.
Well,
throughout history, I have found Curtis's to be unreliable.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So a couple of things we've noted on this. One, there are dead people everywhere, but the cops say no one's in danger. There's no threat to the public. We know this is all inside the house.
So the good people of South Carolina are safe.
Yes. And Biggie was saying earlier, can you imagine coming home from work as this guy, the housekeeper's dead, and you have to say, which one of you all killed this housekeeper? I've got to clean this up.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
It's going to cost me a lot of money.
And now who's going to clean it up? Now who's going to clean it up because the housekeeper's dead?
Let me ask you a serious question about it, though. I mean, there's so much crime and murder, and like she said, they basically run the whole town and they're incredibly wealthy. But my question is, I mean, it's one thing to kill your wife. Do you think this guy killed his wife and his son? Do you think he's the one that had that done? Because he found them dead in the house.
Is that what the suspicion is among the people who watch the case?
That's what I was thinking, just because, I mean, you hear about husbands and wives killing each other all the time.
You do.
But to kill your own son, you know, to get him
out of the way. There's actually another death that's being investigated tied to them. So There is a guy named Stephen Smith, 19-year-old, who was killed not far from their home in a hit and run.
Mm-hmm.
And he was walking. And apparently whatever happened, the police say that based on information that they collected while they were investigating the Paul and Maggie murders, the son and wife, they uncovered evidence that suggested that there was foul play involved in Stephen Smith. And Stephen Smith's mother came out and said, look, that's absolutely right. She said, I've always known it was foul play. He came out as gay. This was a hate crime that was committed against him, and he was best friends with these people.
Yeah. The rumor, my wife says, that the speculation is that the other son that is surviving, Buster, was having sexual relations with this guy. The guy came out as gay, and they killed him to keep Buster's secret that he is gay inside. I mean, it is. There's so much stuff going on with this crew.
It's crazy.
And my wife listens to podcasts and watch TV about it all the time.
I bet she does.
I mean, she's schooling me on this stuff as we're sitting there. I'm just like, I just want to watch Law and Order and Friends. Can I just? And she just over and then she's like,
Can we watch Ted Lasso?
Thank you. Today's Ted Lasso Day. They drop a new one. I got to go home and watch Ted Lasso. Cleanse myself. Now, there's a lawsuit today. I just saw it today out of Mount Pleasant, Michigan. Very interesting. The father of a 7-year-old girl, Michigan schoolgirl, whose hair was cut by an educator without her parents' permission, has filed a $1 million lawsuit against the school district, against a librarian, and against a teacher's assistant. Apparently, they just felt that this girl's hair was too long or a distraction or whatever, so they got scissors and cut the hair. I think they had already said, you need to cut her hair. Nobody did. So they took it upon themselves to cut the hair. Now, that's wrong in every possible way. Is it worth $1 million? How do you proceed in this? What are your thoughts here, Lisa?
Well, so there's a little bit of a caveat. The family actually did take her. So on the bus, another child took some scissors out and cut a piece of the girl's hair up in the front.
Mm-hmm.
And this girl had this beautiful, like these tight, long curls just flowing all around her face, blonde. Really, really pretty hair.
Yes.
But this kid took a big chunk out of the front.
Mm-hmm.
So the family took her to a hair salon, and the hair salon tried to give her this sort of bi-level cut to kind of make it, to hide it, to disguise it.
Yes.
So she had gone to see a professional. She goes back to school, and she's biracial, and all these other people are white. Mm-hmm. And these white folks, I guess, you know, didn't think her hair looked good or whatever, and they cut it again. And now she really looks terrible. I mean, because the before and after pictures of this child are terrible. She had that beautiful hair, and now the front of it, all the way back to her crown just about, is just scalped. I mean, it looks ridiculous. And then she's got, like, the long curly hair like Bozo in the back. It's really bad looking.
Who thinks ever that this is a good idea? Let me cut this kid's hair, you know? I mean, who does that? Why in the world?
Yeah, and at first when I heard the story, I was like, no way. There's, you know, so they cut a little hair, whatever. They were just trying to even it up. But then I saw the photos, and I do think maybe there's a racial component to it, because I don't think they, you know, I mean, just differences, ethnic differences in hair. I don't think white people really got it, that she had it styled, and it was, you know, and they were trying to make it look like they wanted it to look socially conforming to their norms. So I do think that there was... I think that at first I thought, no way, until I saw the pictures, and it's crazy what they did to this kid.
How about the dollar amount? Is that too high?
I think it's a little high, yeah. I do think it's a little high, but I think ultimately the school system will probably end up settling with them. They've disciplined all these people involved. They didn't fire anybody, but they kind of wrote them all up, and the librarian that did it got a last chance, like, you know, one more strike and you're out kind of thing in her file.
Well, do you think the librarian and the teacher's assistant, is it possible their heart was in the right place where they said, oh, you don't look right, let me fix
it. Even it up.
Yeah, and then they just screwed it up.
Yeah, I suppose, but it was really, I mean, who thinks about even daring to cut somebody's kid's hair?
Yeah.
I would never,
No, exactly, that's my thought.
How old was the girl?
7.
Yeah. How's she feeling about
7.
It? Has she said anything?
Oh, terrible. You should see the little face in the picture where they're trying, you know, she looks very dejected.
I know, and she had great hair. I mean, like you said.
She had beautiful hair.
She had this
beautiful
hair. And then one little kid cuts one piece, and then look what's happened from it.
Well,
plus,
you know,
awkward going forward.
As the oldest person in the room, you know, I went to a Catholic school from K through 8, and the rules were very strict for the boys. The girls had, I don't know what kind of restrictions the girls had, but the boys' hair could not touch your collar, and you had to have a collared shirt and necktie.
Yeah.
So the hair could not touch your collar, and it could not touch your eyebrows. Well, Ms. Hanscom, 5th grade.
Yeah.
She cut Tim McGranahan's hair.
Did she?
In the classroom, and Mark O'Brien's hair.
She did. And did anybody say a word?
Not a word.
Not a word. That's, you know, those days.
Not a word. Right off the collar and right over the eyebrows.
Right over the eyebrows.
Come here, O'Brien.
They wouldn't look like the Beatles.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Take you right out.
Come here, Ringo. Snip.
Mm-hmm. Nobody said word one.
Nobody said word one.
No, you don't even think about it. Today, you do not cut hair.
Lawsuit City.
Yeah, that's right. You do not cut hair. Speaking of Lawsuit City, we might all be in line for a class action lawsuit. If you have bought chicken at any point in your life over the last 12 years.
Chicken.
Chicken.
The most popular meat on the planet.
That's the one.
Bait, grilled, fried, does it matter?
Doesn't matter. Someone has realized that Big Chicken has conspired to limit supplies to keep the price of chicken up. So now those companies have to pay out a total of $181 million. And to qualify to get a piece of that, you have to prove that you have bought chicken between December of last year and 2009.
Okay. Will a bucket at a picnic suffice?
But you don't have to prove it. You do not have to prove it. All you have to do is say that you did it. Say that you bought it.
Well, if you go to overchargedforchicken.com, you can say that you bought chicken in the past 12 years and you'll get a piece of this lawsuit.
What kind of payday do you think you can expect, Lisa?
I don't know, $1.39 maybe, something like that.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Take what I can get.
A nugget's worth.
You know, it says that you have to have bought chicken in one of 23 states. Do you know, Lisa, please list the 23 states in which, do you know where this is? And is this really true? They're going to wind up paying out all that money to people who have bought chicken?
Yeah, so they've already entered into a settlement. So it settled for $181 million. So now it's just about getting people to come forward and say that they were an aggrieved party and become a part of it. And they'll then, based on how many people, less costs and attorney's fees, they'll divvy it all up. And if a lot of people come forward, that's why I said it's not going to be, you know, be a lot of money. Mm-hmm. North Carolina, where we have a lot of listeners, that is one of the states that you can claim it. And it's only about seven producers. You might have heard of Pilgrim's Pride or Tyson Foods. Those are popular mm-hmm. In this area. And so it's these specific. And what they apparently did, what they were accused of doing, was that they got together and came up with this kind of price gouging scheme to limit the supply to keep the prices up. And it was a violation, allegedly, of antitrust laws and consumer protection laws. And they're not admitting wrongdoing in the settlement, but, you know, $181 million later, you know, it's done.
Just throwing out some
here,
money.
Take your check.
That's just being investigated in the beef thing I just told you.
The beef thing, same thing.
So it sounds like to me like they choked the chicken supply.
Oh, yeah. My God. I think they did choke the chicken supply.
They did. Bring your checkbook, Big Chicken.
Kelly, you got a receipt from yesterday, don't you?
Would you like yours out to cash, Kelly?
Let me tell you something. I can go to my car right now and find receipts from probably the last 12 years.
Cup holder under the seat.
Yes. I would like it right now, and I think I should lead the way.
Damn, would you like payment in kind, or would you like cash?
Payment in kind. That's what I want. Payment in kind.
From Pilgrim's Pride.
You want a fryer?
I want a fryer.
You want a bird?
A whole fryer.
Right now, I want a whole fryer cleaned and plucked, and let's get it out here. I was surprised at this story. We're in the middle of Lawyer Up with Lisa Lanier. She joins us every week at this time, our official attorney. From Southern California, I was really surprised at the outcome of this. A couple who had a gender reveal party last year, they were charged with 30 crimes because their gender reveal party caused one of these terrible California wildfires. Mm. You know, they did something. They used...
Was this the Tannerite?
The Tannerite, exactly. So they wound up burning 22,000 acres across two counties. This fire was started a year ago. San Bernardino County, California. One firefighter was killed while trying to fight
the course of putting out the fires.
Putting out the fire. So now they're on the hook for... Is it murder or is it manslaughter? I mean, they really connected the dots here that the couple who started the fire are going to be charged with the manslaughter because the fireman dies fighting the fire. I was a bit surprised that they connected the dots like that, Lisa. Can you explain?
Oh, yeah. So they definitely were able to figure out where the fire originated. And these folks admitted that they ignited this smoke bomb thing that went off in the color of, you know, for the gender reveal. Mm-hmm. And they have been charged with over 30 crimes. They're facing 20 years each in prison. And it's felony involuntary manslaughter in the death of the firefighter, along with all sorts of other charges related to causing the fire, reckless actions, you know, that caused the fire. And so they basically, this is a big thing. You know, if you live in California in one of these areas that is prone to these fires, you know better. You don't ignite anything. You know, you don't flick a cigarette butt. You don't, I mean, because it will literally turn into this, you know, this El Dorado fire mm-hmm. consumed 22,000 acres across two counties. It's terrible. And people who live out there know that it is that the environment is just so brittle. It does not rain for months at a time. It's incredibly arid, and they just know better. And so these folks, you know, this is, and these gender reveals have a history in recent years of causing all kinds of accidents. They're doing them from airplanes and causing crashes and all kinds of crazy stuff. So it's just, it's sort of absurd, the lengths that people go to mm-hmm. to do these gender reveals.
I know. Mm. I'm one of the few that's pro-gender reveal. The others on this program don't like them. I went to a gender reveal party, my first, about 3 or 4 years ago, and I really enjoyed it. I thought, this is fun.
Because, Lisa, there was gambling.
There was.
Oh, okay, well.
Well, I wore a pink shirt and got it right. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're supposed to do. So I, at that point, flipped over to like, okay, I'm all right with these gender reveals. Do you think, my big question, I think you've already answered, do people know that doing something like this could land them in jail for 20 years? You think it's fair that if they, let's say they got 25 years in prison, is that fair for just making that mistake and causing that? I mean, certainly they would never want to or intentionally burn 22,000 acres. Do you think the punishment fits the crime?
You know, I don't know that they'll get the 20 years. They face up to 20 years. Okay. So first they may, you know, they may get less than that. But, you know, in any of this sort of reckless behavior that causes the death of someone, like, mm-hmm. drunk drivers that hit people and kill them, they usually get pretty stiff sentences, maybe not the full max 20 years in this case, because I think it was less intentional than, you know, getting behind the wheel after you've had too much to drink. But but they'll get some time. I mean, they may plea out to something, you know, lesser.
Well, you know, we've heard of in California where somebody's driving a car, their wheel, their tire blows out. They keep on driving. A spark from their rim of their tire causes a fire and thousands of acres are consumed. It's unbelievable.
It sounds like this kid's not going to have parents for a little while, though.
Mm. It does.
That's a good point. Whoever was revealed.
Man, wait. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I mean,
they've revealed.
Unless the court is nice, I don't know if they can do this or not, Lisa, if the court is nice enough and say, all right, each of you gets 8 years, and mom does the first eight, and dad does their eight.
So no, I don't think they'll do that. They'll send them to grandma and grampy's.
Yeah. Oh, I would offer that.
Or become a ward of the state if they don't have family.
Yeah, correct. Yeah,
that's unbelievable. Would you want your wife to do the first eight or the second eight? I go first date.
You want the diapers, but not the drama?
No, you're right. Give me second date. I'll do the first date and get it out of the way.
You do the teen drama?
Yeah, I'll do teen drama. You take
the teens and tweens?
I'm good at teen drama. They say, can I do this? I say, yeah, go ahead.
It's true. Absolutely. So far, it's been pretty smooth.
And there's an update in the Rod Stewart case. We talked about this once before. Rod Stewart punched a security guy at a hotel in Florida on New Year's Eve. Lisa actually sent me the video. This is fun to watch Rod hobble around and hit some
guy. It's really fun. His little drunk ass dancing around.
He's dancing and they just hit the guy.
Shocked how much dancing he was doing.
He was doing a lot of dancing.
There was a lot of dancing leading up to this punch.
Yeah. Boxing dancing? No, just dancing.
Like dancing.
Yeah. And like I just picked, hey, love. Yeah. Just grooving on everybody. You're like, oh.
I mean, Rod's getting up there and he's got some moves. And then he hits a guy.
76 years old. Yeah.
So what?
Yeah, I posted the video on my Instagram for Linear Law Group. It's a very funny video. I suggest you watch it. He dances for a long time before the altercation. He dances all around the check-in table, and he goes up and does some kind of little twist thing to the shoulders of the person sitting there. And he's just crazy.
But he punched a guy, and they got an altercation. This is a couple of years ago now. What is the judge done? The judge has delayed it again, right, the results?
Well, so what has happened is, so, you know, it was Rod Stewart, and it was also his 44-year-old son, and they got into this altercation because there was a private party going on at this upscale hotel, and they wanted to crash it, and the security guards would not let them. And they, first of all, the son pushed the security guard, and then that's when Rod walks over and just really gut punches the guy and knocks him down. I mean, he packs a punch. But so they've entered into, and it's all on video. There are all these witnesses. I mean, it was a slam dunk for the prosecution. So Rod and his son have entered into a guilty plea arrangement. And so what has happened now is that the trial date has been postponed, and instead they're going to have the plea deal will be heard in court, and we'll find out what he has agreed to. He was facing up to a year in jail. probation and a $1,000 fine. So it'll be something less than that. And but they went ahead and entered a guilty plea, and they should. I mean, it was slam dunk.
Well, maybe Rod could do the first 6 months and his son could do the next
That's
year.
Right.
The Dave Aiken plan.
Why not?
You know, do it that
it's
way.
It's Rod.
I like it, Dave. If you're a couple or a father-son doing something like that, yeah, you do have Alba.
Don't make the kids suffer.
Is he a knight? Is he Sir Rod Stewart? I think he is.
I think he is.
Boy, he can punch, too. He's got it.
Well, he's a former soccer hooligan.
Yeah, that's right. He got it going on.
He's fit.
Lisa Lanier, our official attorney of the Two Guys Named Chris show. Fantastic as always. LanierLawGroup.com or HireAHeavyweight.com. If you need any legal expertise, she's got it for you. We're off next week, Lisa. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Have a great vacation.
Bye. Thank you. There she goes.